100 and 2000 UT.
Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza. On this live broadcast from Washington, here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Thursday, October 19, 2023. Some soldiers in South Sudan say they are happy with their new salary structure.
Before, I could not afford to buy food for my children. We were suffering a lot. I am a private and I used to receive 2,700 SSP. And now I have received 39,000 SSP.
And some South Sudanese living in Israel say they are safe and alive.
أصبحنا يوم السبت الصباح بأصوات بذات الأسلحة الثقيلة وبس.
We woke up one Saturday morning to the sound of heavy gunshots and rockets. I want to assure my family in South Sudan and WOW specifically that I am safe until now.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some members of South Sudan's security forces say they are excited after the government paid their salaries using a new salary structure. Several members of the South Sudan People's Defense Force, or SSPDF, say the new 400% salary increment has helped some soldiers to buy food for their families. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar went to Konyokonyo Market and has this report.
Members of the organized forces flooded Juba's Konyokonyo Market Thursday to shop for their families after receiving their new salaries payment, according to the new structure. Private Garang Atak Garang, one of the soldiers who shop at the Konyokonyo Market, says the new pay rise is enough to cater for his family of seven.
Before, I could not afford to buy food for my children. We were suffering a lot. I am a private and I used to receive 2,700 SSP. And now I have received 39,000 SSP. Right now, I want to buy maize flour, beans, cooking oil, and some other items as shopping for my children, and then I will do my work with happiness.
Garang says he has been working as a motorcycle taxi driver to earn extra cash to feed his family. While several members of the organized forces and civil servants celebrate the new pay rise, Corporal Wani Joseph says he wants the government to pay salaries in foreign currency to meet the rising cost of food commodities in the market.
I can say thanks to the government of South Sudan for increasing our salary. But we need this money to be paid in dollars, not in pounds, in order to meet the prices in the market. This money is increased, but still it cannot afford to buy things in the market. I hope the government will continue to increase the money like this and also work to reduce prices in the market to help the people of South Sudan.
President Salva Kiir signed the 2023-2024 fiscal year budget after the National Legislative Assembly approved the 2.1 trillion South Sudanese pounds budget proposal with a 400% salary increment for civil servants and members of the organized forces. David Ding, another member of the organized forces, says his salary is not enough, adding that he still needs money for other basic needs, including medical care.
In fact, it is not like before. The government has done a good job, but the rest we hope it will also add. Now we have money to buy food and other ingredients, but school fees for children and medication remain.
Agog Makur is South Sudan's deputy finance minister. He says there is a committee composed of National Security Service, National Police Service, and South Sudan People's Defense Forces officers supervising the payment of the salaries to members of the organized forces.
This committee is forming by a high-level committee, and then this committee for pay, because we need any institution to submit their payslip to avoid any forgery or any names are not there. We need to check. This committee for check.
Makur says the Minister of Finance has approved the payment of salaries for July and August. He says salaries for August will be paid as soon as the payment for July is completed. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayor in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Khartoum, where 6 months into Sudan's conflict between the army and the rapid support forces, humanitarian agencies are sounding alarm bells that the country is experiencing its worst hunger crisis. Lenny Kunsley, spokesperson for WFP in Sudan, tells VOA's Nabil Biagio that millions of Sudanese people need food assistance, but accessing them remains challenging due to ongoing fighting.
42% of the population, or 20 million people, are now facing acute hunger, do not know where their next meals come from. And of those, 6.3 million people are in emergency levels of hunger, which is just one step away from famine. And the situation and the conflict as it continues and it spreads is only making the situation even worse. We're very concerned that agricultural productivity and the upcoming harvest season is at risk because of the impact of the conflict. And with lower harvest in the coming season, that could only further deepen Sudan's hunger crisis.
Before the conflict erupted in mid-April 2023, Sudan was already a country in debt, huge debt. Commodity prices were going up faster and higher than ordinary citizens can keep a pace with. Now the country has been at war for half a year. Let's go beyond the numbers a little bit. Paint me a picture of the daily struggle of families to put food on the table amid this rampant insecurity.
Well, now, because of the conflict, so many people have been displaced from their homes, have lost their livelihoods, their jobs. We are seeing 5.8 million people who have fled because of this conflict. 1.2 million of them to other countries, and the remaining 4.6 within Sudan. So, for example, there are families that ran away from Khartoum, ran away from this violence, and now are staying in different places, like, for example, in Shendi or in Atbara or in Port Sudan, where they don't have a home and they don't have a livelihood. And so they're really dependent on support. And that's why it's critical for aid agencies like WFP to be there to provide support. But beyond that, as you had mentioned, the prices continue to get higher and higher. The price of wheat flour today is 55% higher than it was a year ago. And we are looking at incredible rates of inflation, around 200%. Just in a matter of weeks, the Sudanese pound has gone from around 580 Sudanese pounds per dollar to almost 900. And this macroeconomic crisis, which already existed before the conflict, is just being exacerbated and pushing the entire country into a deeper crisis.
We know Khartoum and Darfur have been the epicenters of this fighting between the army and the rapid support forces. What are some of the hot spots of this hunger crisis in Sudan?
The hot spots of the hunger crisis are very much in the Darfurs. Even before the conflict started, West Darfur was among the most food insecure states in Sudan. We are seeing the highest levels of hunger in Khartoum, in Kordofan, and like I mentioned, in the Darfurs. And it's where the fighting is happening that the people are the most food insecure, but that also makes it the most difficult to reach because of the insecurity, because of the clashes and limited humanitarian access. And that is a really great concern for WFP, as if the people, especially those who are the 6.3 million people who are one step away from a famine, do not receive assistance, it will push them even further into hunger.
I'm glad you brought up the issue of access, and I wanted you to tell me about WFP's efforts along with other humanitarian agencies to alleviate this suffering and where you're falling short.
So far, WFP has reached over 3 million people across the country with emergency food and nutrition assistance in 17 of 18 states across the country, including in some of the most hard-to-reach areas in the Darfurs. And most recently, we have had a breakthrough in accessing West Darfur from Chad through a cross-border operation, which has also been coordinated through civil-military coordination efforts with organizations like the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. So, yes, we have been able to reach people, but so much more needs to be done because the needs are immense. We're looking at around half the population, around 25 million people who need some form of humanitarian assistance. And aid organizations and aid convoys are facing threats, roadblocks, restrictions, and also bureaucratic impediments, delays in visas, and in processing paperwork, which makes it even more difficult to provide support and reach some of these places. But what is most important is that the fighting has to stop. There needs to be consolidated and coordinated international efforts to exert pressure on the parties to the conflict to cease the hostilities and to facilitate the delivery of humanitarian assistance. Because without that, we're really looking at, in a few months, the country just being pushed over the brink. And that is what keeps us up at night.
That's Eleni Kinsley, WFP spokesperson for Sudan. She spoke with Nabil Biagio from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi. Some South Sudanese living in Israel say they are terrified by the ongoing fighting between the Hamas and the Israeli army, which began more than a week ago. One South Sudanese living in Israel says although he and his colleagues are scared by the heavy gunfire during ongoing fighting, there is no report of any Sudanese or any South Sudanese killed in the crossfire. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Speaking to South Sudan in Focus via a messaging application from Israel, 34-year-old Boutros George says he and other South Sudanese were initially frightened and worried when fighting broke out between Hamas and the Israeli Defense Force more than a week ago.
We woke up one Saturday morning to the sound of heavy gunshots and rockets. People were going through some terrifying situations of being worried and scared at the beginning of the fighting. I want to assure my family in South Sudan and WOW specifically that I am safe until now. I want to send this message to all my friends and relatives in South Sudan that I am safe and they should not worry much.
Years old Amos Chan, another South Sudanese living in the Israeli capital, Tel Aviv, says he was terrified in the first days of the fighting. He says the situation is a bit calm compared to 4 days ago.
Although sometimes we have rocket flying over, but the situation is calm. Some industries and some private sector have resumed work, unless maybe government authorities and offices are still closed. The country is now is gaining the security across all the state, although there is still high tension across the country.
Amos Chan's brother, Stephen Sebit, who resides in Juba, says his family and relatives are worried about the safety of Chan amidst the ongoing fighting between the Israeli army and the Hamas.
you fail to have someone you love abroad and that's in a country that's war like that, you always feel bad. You know, the condition there, and there are students, and they depend on what, on the work of their hands. And if they are just tied inside the house like that, then now it will always feel bad. Their suffering is too much, and the way we are thinking is different. And they have no support, any support again. So that's the thing that we have as a family.
George says Israel hosts a big number of South Sudanese in different areas across the country.
We have more than 120 South Sudanese in different areas in Israel. We have been communicating with all the South Sudanese living in Israel, and until now, I have not heard a South Sudanese have been killed, wounded, or anything bad happened to them in this ongoing fighting.
George says there are security alerts in all buildings warning residents of potential rockets or heavy artillery attacks. He says there are no reports of any South Sudanese killed in the ongoing fighting between Israel and Hamas. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the Israeli-Hamas conflict is threatening to spread out. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you reward yourself?
I'll go and buy myself maybe a pair of shoes I always desire to get. I'll go and have a meal I always desire to get. Or anything. Depends on what I've achieved.
By spoiling myself, I'm a girl. I go buy myself clothes, shoes, do my hair, my nails. Basic things that will make me look good and happy at the end of the day.
I cook a good meal. I sit down with a chill drink.
My work involves very hard work, so I get very tired. So I reward myself once every month. I do that by swimming and relaxing at the beach with my family.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. One of U.S. President Joe Biden's goal in Israel Wednesday was to help resolve the humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. He visited Israel Wednesday as Gaza reeled from an explosion at a hospital that killed an estimated 500 people. Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Israel welcomed U.S. President Joe Biden, who came for a solidarity visit with the people and leaders of the Jewish state. After meetings with Israeli officials, he spent time with survivors of the Hamas attack and first responders. Just hours before President Biden arrived in Israel, a missile or rocket hit the Al-Ahli hospital in central Gaza, killing hundreds of Palestinians. Hamas officials blamed Israel, and thousands of Palestinians protested in the West Bank, some of them throwing rocks as Palestinian security forces moved in to disperse them with tear gas. Israeli Defense Forces spokesman Daniel Hagari denied any responsibility and instead blamed militants.
The explosion of the Al-Hali al-Mahdani hospital in Gaza was caused by an Islamic Jihad rocket that was misfired.
Along with promising unprecedented support to Israel, President Biden came here expressing concern about a growing humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Israel has cut off the supply of electricity, fuel, and food to Gaza, where Hamas is holding some 200 Israeli hostages. Truckloads of international aid for Gaza's 2.2 million residents have lined up at the Rafah border with Egypt, which had been closed since the hostilities began. Biden succeeded in persuading Israel to allow this aid to enter from Egypt. But the Israeli Prime Minister's office says Israel will not allow the transfer of aid from its territory to Gaza until the Israeli hostages are freed. Dr. Riek Pieperkorn is the head of the World Health Organization's office in the West Bank in Gaza.
What is needed in Gaza now is an immediate access. This corridor at Rafah needs to be opened as soon as possible. There's an absolute need for fuel, water, food, and of course medicines and medical supplies. The supplies are ready. They're at the border. They're waiting to get in.
Israel has ordered more than 1 million Palestinians to leave northern Gaza and move to the south, saying it's for their own safety. Close to 500,000 have done so, including Fida Al-Araj, who works with the British charity Oxfam in Gaza. Along with her husband, five children, and mother-in-law, she says she's moved three times since the war began and is now in Rafah, near the border with Egypt.
We are seeking a safer place because of the children mainly and because of my mother-in-law. She's not capable of like walking and running, and so we are seeking safety, even though like I doubt something called safety still exists in the whole of Gaza Strip.
The Palestinian Health Authority and the World Health Organization in Gaza say more than 3,000 people have been killed since the war began, including 1,500 women and children. The number of dead and wounded has increased considerably after the hospital attack. Fida Al-Araj is mourning the loss of several family members.
My cousin, his family was bombed in their house. His mother, his wife, and his five kids were blown to bits. We didn't even have bodies to bury.
With the conflict escalating and an Israeli ground assault on Gaza expected soon, Al-Araj says she and other Palestinians worry that life in Gaza will become even more dangerous. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Jerusalem.
Still on Middle East, the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin replaced more than 2,000 military personnel on high alert this week with a prepare-to-deploy order. The Pentagon is telling VOA that should the president activate the units, they will further boost the U.S. military's air defense, medical and logistical capabilities, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance abilities in the Middle East. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babs breaks down how the U.S. is flexing its muscles in the region.
Another American carrier strike group speeds toward the region. The USS Dwight D. Eisenhower aircraft carrier will join the USS Gerald R. Ford carrier strike group that's locked and loaded in the eastern Mediterranean. Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh.
Our main goal by positioning not one, but a second carrier will be there soon, is to send a message of deterrence, to say to actors in the region who think that they might want to take advantage of this conflict, do not do that.
Sailors aboard the USS Ford, America's biggest and baddest warship, had been wrapping up their six-month deployment. Now, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has extended the deployment of the Ford, along with the cruiser and destroyer ships sailing with it, without stating an end date. Three ships with the USS Bataan Amphibious Ready Group are positioning thousands of Marines in waters near Israel. Marines able to penetrate hostile territory or provide medical care and assistance. A squadron of A-10 attack aircraft has arrived in the Middle East, with another A-10 squadron's deployment extended. And more F-15 and F-16 fighter jets also are rolling in as concerns grow that Hezbollah could join the fight from the north once an expected ground invasion of Gaza begins. Dakota Wood is a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation.
Hezbollah has something like 200,000 rockets and missiles. The ability to strike those positions would be incredibly important. These force packages create that opportunity or that option.
In addition to boosting its military presence, the U.S. has sent at least five C-17s carrying military aid for Israel Defense Forces. Again, Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh.
We are certainly giving Israel the security assistance it needs to take out and to effectively push back on Hamas in Gaza. Again, I will reiterate as many times as you want. That does not mean the killing of innocent civilians.
U.S. defense officials say the administration is providing Israel with precision munitions and interceptor missiles for its Iron Dome air defense system, with more to come. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
Palestinians are protesting across the West Bank Wednesday after an attack on a hospital in Gaza Strip that officials say killed hundreds of people. Palestinian security forces used tear gas to disperse rocket-throwing protesters who are venting their anger at the attack, which they blame on Israel. The protest also targeted Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Israel denies attacking the hospital. Jan Bochat reports from Ramallah in the West Bank.
Wednesday morning was quiet in the West Bank town of Ramallah, a day after the explosion at the Gaza hospital the officials say killed about 500 people. The town is the seat of the Palestinian Authority. Most shops were closed and attendance at noon prayers were sparse. This was the scene of violent protests that started Tuesday after news of the explosion in Gaza that sent many to the streets here to vent their shock and anger for the blast, which they blame on Israel. Later Wednesday, the demonstrations erupted again in Ramallah, with many of the protesters apparently not believing Israel's explanation that it was the Islamic Jihad militant group that caused the explosion when one of their rockets intended for Israel misfired. On the streets of the West Bank for a second day, there was frustration at what's happening more than 8 kilometers away in Gaza.
That we can't do anything about it. We're just here standing and watching, and all we can do is come here, stay together, one hand, hand in hand, to support Palestine, to support the land we've been always fighting for.
In the outskirts of Ramallah, the protests took a more violent turn. Young boys began to throw rocks at Israeli soldiers not far from there. Soon, more people joined. Israeli soldiers responded with tear gas and live ammunition shots. Tuesday had seen clashes between protesters and Palestinian security forces. Some of the anger has been directed at Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who has been largely quiet over the Israeli attacks on Gaza. Many here in the West Bank see Abbas and his Palestinian Authority, an enemy of Hamas, as authoritarian and an extension of the Israeli occupation. Yeboe Shah for VOA News, Ramallah.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
And that's all we prepared for you this Thursday, October 19, 2020. We now leave you with Oliver Mtukudzi and the song Wenge Mambo. Mutukuzu and the song Wenge Mambo. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Sterling Carl, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.